Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Morning Drive, Friday edition, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Cale out for the day, taking care of some sick kiddos there. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Munson producing.
Dark.
Back there. Sorry about that, man. My apologies. Dark. Roll damn tide. Titans and Buccaneers, final thoughts as we kind of enter the final hour of the show this week. We'll get to some college football around the country. And we'll get to our pigskin pickings, of course, coming up in about 30 minutes. Big finish a little bit later on this hour. Tampa Bay Lightning hosts the Preds tomorrow night, 6 o'clock puck drop. So they've had a weird Saturday schedule, and they just have been bad on Saturday. So we'll see what they look like tomorrow against a much better team than Minnesota following the 4-0 win last night. Matt Duchene did leave the game with a lower body injury, I believe the Preds reported, and did not return. But Tampa Bay comes to town. Titans are only a 2.5-point favorite. They have not been good when they have been favored. Jeffrey Simmons is going to play a few more snaps. You got Ryan Tannehill in game number two. I am curious. We ask this question every week, Derek, and we'll take your calls on this if you guys want to get in, 737-1025. I'm curious always about what the building looks like and what the crowd looks like. I know there should be thousands of more people there.
Absolutely.
Because you will be doing the
12th man along with Chris Johnson. I can't leave him out.
Have you guys
2K?
Have you guys talked about what it's going to look like and how it's going to?
We haven't.
Do you guys think you should plan a little bit? Maybe.
Yeah, a friend of mine asked me. Okay, it's two people. Who's going to throw down a sword? Are y'all going to walk out holding hands?
Can you
hands?
Hold hands?
Yes.
I think you guys should hold hands and skip. You should just skip out
with
to
the store sword I am.
Just skip out holding hands to midfield.
No, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like. It's going to be terrific because I know all Titan fans are going to show up and show out and make a lot of noise, not just because yours truly will be there, but because the Titans have another opportunity to win a ball game and to win two in a row and to get to 500. So there you go.
I think there's reason for excitement, at least cautious excitement, cautious optimism. I think people are thinking, all right, we got a good showing out of Ryan Tannehill. Let's see what this looks like. The defense for Tampa Bay is not particularly good, so you can expect the receivers to make plays.
Mm-hmm.
I had a low-key just super secret move last week in fantasy. Grabbed Corey Davis at like 11:50, plugged him into the lineup. I'd like to say that's what helped me in my morning drive fantasy league get a W. Corey Davis, thank you. Got you in the lineup again this week, baby. Those receivers are going to get some play.
Of course they will. That secondary is not good. The weakest part of the team right now, but their front seven is really good. So I can't wait to see how Arthur Smith choose to attack that defense. Will he try to run the football to set up the pass, or will he immediately go into pass mode? It'll be interesting to see. But I think it'll be a lot of slants, hitches, nine-stop, quicken routes. Get the ball in these guys' hands very quickly because, as we have seen, when they do get the ball in their hands, Janu, Delaney, Corey, AJ, these guys break tackles and they get yards after the catch. So it would behoove them to do the same thing. Give it to them early and let those guys break tackles and get up the field.
This Tampa Bay defense is not special in the back seven, but that front line, the defensive line, is pretty salty, and I'm concerned about the middle of the Titans' offensive line. Saffold Jones and Nate Davis, who did practice yesterday, as well as Jack Conklin. So it looks like the starting offensive line will be intact. That being said, Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vea, former first-round pick, those guys are sitting there in the middle eating up a lot of space. And I have concerns about the three of them holding up against those two in pass protection. Now, I'm more comfortable with Roger Saffold or Big Rog.
Big Rog.
I'm more comfortable with them attacking with Derrick Henry downhill. But you know they're going to have to throw the football because the running, like, what you can't be in, and again, this is I know you guys are going to sit here, oh, quit defending Marcus. Marcus was in 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12 a lot this year because they were not running the football well on 1st and 2nd down. And so if they're sitting in 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, that's not a recipe for success, whether it's Ryan Tannehill or whoever playing quarterback.
No, you can't. You got to be sort of – you got to be ahead of the sticks. You have to – it has to be 3rd and 3, 3rd and 6 or less is – you put yourself in a situation now where the playbook is infinite. You can do whatever you want to. But when you start to get into that 3rd and 7, 8 plus, that's where, you know, defenses tend to, you know, tee off on you. Because now there's only – you can't really truly run the ball. You can throw a screen play. But it makes it harder for you to get the first down when it's, you know, 3rd and 7 plus.
We'll talk about the trade deadline here in just a second, the impact the game could have on the deadline and John Robinson's decision. Maul wants to chime in, though. Maul, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man? I want to say the Titans will win this game. They will cover. And they will win due to the 53, not the coach. Mm. Quarterbacking is way better than the coaching. Now that we have Tannehill in, we traded in uppercase malarkey for lowercase malarkey, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I do. I follow you, Mo.
You know what? I mean, the jury is still out on whether Vrabel can be the guy long term.
And that means winning a Super Bowl.
Can he be a guy to win a Super Bowl? Listen, he's done some things that were head scratchers, but then also he's done some things that makes us believe that he is the coach for this organization.
They overachieved last year. Yeah. Facing the adversity and injuries they did, they overachieved last year.
And he
year.
Kept that team together.
Yeah, but this year,
amongst that,
questionable coaching that. Decisions almost every game.
Yeah, but that's why when I asked TD the question of you know, what would it mean for Vrabel if he lose this game? And, you know, it's a question that, you know, that needs to be answered. Like, okay, you win last week, you know, against a Charger team that's beat up a little bit, but they still got Phillip Rivers. You had a great goal line stand. The offense played better. Deep offensive line played better.
I mean, you shouldn't have won the game.
Yeah.
Let's call it what it
exactly.
is. You got lucky to win the game, okay?
But you won it. How do you come back now, again, at home? Can you put two of them together at home? If you do, great. Then we can continue. But if you don't, then the questions will continue to come up. Why are you, as a head coach, and why is your team so inconsistent? Now, you win the games that, you know, New England, Philadelphia, games like that. This year, the Chargers.
Right.
You win games like that, but then you lose to teams yet you are better than.
Yeah. I think his answer is fair because, you know, I expect Ryan Tannehill to play not as good as last week, but close. Mm-hmm. I want to see it to be as close. I expect this team – this is a game you have to win if you want to be taken seriously in the AFC. If you can get back to 4-4, you should be completely rejuvenated with the change at quarterback and with the schedule being what it is over the next few weeks. Carolina gets a lot tougher. We said this is the area of the schedule that you needed to pile upon wins upon wins upon wins. And, you know, they didn't start out that way, but if they can pick up two in a row, if you lose this game, it does speak to the coach and the coaching staff a little bit because this is one where you're at home and you should win. I know, you know, Winston can go off, but aren't you just trusting Dean Pease to handle that at this stage?
Yeah.
I mean, I just like I know Mike Evans is good. I know Godwin's a good player. Winston can be good. He also will make a ton of mistakes, and I trust Dean Pease to handle that matchup. And listen, if Dean Pease gets beaten and that defense gets beaten because Jameis Winston just makes a couple of great throws, that doesn't change my opinion of Dean Pease.
Mm-hmm.
The offense, though, is still a large question. Whether it's the quarterback, the offensive line, the running game, the coordinator, they're all still fair questions to ask of this team. And this is one of those where you need to show us again that it wasn't just a one-time thing. Because anybody can go out and have a great game. All you guys who are like, oh, we've got a great quarterback now, Ryan Tannehill. Anybody can go out and have one great game. Tannehill's done it. Case Keenum had a great season for Minnesota. Look at Case Keenum. He's not very good. So anybody can have a good game. Can you string them together?
Mm-hmm.
Can you be consistent and do it, you know, game after game after game and get yourself in a position to compete for a playoff spot in the final 6 months, 6 weeks of the season. That's where you got to be at right now, and it starts on Sunday.
Yeah, it does.
With Derek Mason slamming that sword down into the ground.
Absolutely. That's truly where it starts, with me walking out of that tunnel.
What are you
as the 12th man.
What are you going to wear?
I got to wear a Titan jersey, 12th man jersey.
Oh, yeah, is it? Yeah?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, 12th man jersey. So
that, what kind of pants? You going to go with pleated khakis?
I'm going to wear bell bottoms.
Well,
and platforms.
Oh.
Awesome.
That'd be so good.
Awesome.
Be like Amanda Shires up there.
Exactly. Just looking so awesome.
All right, we'll take a look at the college football slate. Tennessee, what do the Volunteers have to do to get a win at home as an underdog? Are we both picking the Titans? Everybody picking the Titans this weekend? I'm not making official predictions, but I think the Titans play well.
Yeah, I'm picking the Titans to win.
I'm picking the Titans.
There you go. Official predictions there from Morning Drive. College football when we come back right here on Morning Drive. Not a one-hit wonder. I'm just saying, welcome back to the show. Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Nick Kale out today. We'll be back on Monday with all of his Tamarhan takes, Munson producing. Again, Twitter poll question today at Braden Gall. Who is getting married first, Jared Stillman or Chase McCabe?
Man, and Stillman, McCabe is leading.
79% Chaser. Man. Chaser.
Nobody believes in Stillman.
I think Stillman, if I was gambling, mm-hmm. and Chase is the favorite, right, at like mm-hmm. minus 130 or whatever,
yeah.
and Stillman's like plus 200, I would take the plus 200.
Yeah.
I think Stillman
will win some money.
I think Stillman will weasel his way into a marriage before Jace does. that's mean spirited, also.
Oh, man.
All right. Tennessee Volunteers host South Carolina, 4-point underdog. Mm-hmm. It looks like Jarrett Garantano is going to start, but also JT Schrout will play. That's the second and third string quarterbacks for them. Brian Maurer looks like he's out. Listen, South Carolina's defensive line is salty, really good. They played very, very well against Georgia, and they played pretty well against Florida until the fourth quarter. Got a couple of bad calls there. Tennessee's offensive line is better. I don't know if they're going to find any room to operate against that particular front line. I think Javon Kinlaw's a first-round pick. I just think I want to believe in Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee, and I want to believe in the growth that they've shown.
Mm-hmm.
They are 0-7 all-time against Will Muschamp. Something has to give.
Yeah. And if Tennessee wants to keep their bowl game hopes alive, I think they have to have this game. Yes, you can be encouraged that, you know, the way they played against Alabama to a point where they could have been down only one score, and that maybe that could have changed the dynamics of the game, you know, being down one score. And whether I understand Alabama fans or even some UT fans will say, well, Tua wasn't playing, that's why I was so close. But I think they still play well. And hopefully that can carry over to this South Carolina game. And again, if they can pick up this game, I think it does a lot for the psyche of the team. I think it does a lot for Jeremy Pruitt. Moving forward, not just this season, I think for recruiting too.
Think about if this game was in South Carolina, they would be a 10-point favorite.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? Because isn't 3 points? It's a 6-point swing, right?
Mm-hmm.
If this game moves, 3 points for home field advantage, that means they're a 7-point favorite on a neutral field.
Yeah.
South Carolina would be. That's pretty.
Do you okay?
Vegas has given a lot of love to South Carolina.
Okay.
In this
game. Do you think if.
And our boy Lee Sterling took South Carolina laying the points earlier.
If Garantano wasn't starting.
It's Maurer, you're saying?
Yeah, it's Maurer. Do you think it's
I don't think
do
it's about
think
the
it's
quarter-
a pick-em?
I don't think it's about the quarterback. To me, it's not about the quarterback. It's about the line of scrimmage. And if they can run the ball like they did against Bama last week,
mm-hmm.
and here's what's really crazy. You could argue South Carolina's defensive line is in much better shape than Alabama's.
Mm-hmm.
They got a lot of freshmen. Alabama's more talented, deeper, all that stuff. But that starting four for South Carolina is pretty damn good. So I am concerned that the offensive line doesn't give time to the quarterback. I'm concerned it looks like a game from last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm concerned about, is that the South Carolina defensive line is just wreaking havoc the entire game. That's what I'd be concerned about. And Jeremy Pruitt's defense was better against Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Helinski and Brian Edwards, they've connected on big plays every first quarter the last couple of weeks. They put up points on Florida defense last week in the rain. I like South Carolina.
Yeah.
It's not a good feeling. I don't have a good feeling about this one for Tennessee fans.
I think South Carolina wins, but I wouldn't be surprised if UT did win that game at home, based upon how they played last week up until a point. But let's get outside of the SEC quickly, because there are several games that I think ultimately will have an impact later, really starting next month when the committee comes in. One game is that Notre Dame in Michigan game. Michigan still has Ohio State left in their schedule. But Notre Dame, I think Notre Dame is in a position where, yes, if they win this Michigan game, is the loss to Georgia looking better or worse for them? Because Georgia loses to South Carolina.
It looks worse, but I don't really think, like, to me, I'm not taking that into account. Like, I think it was two really good teams that played a really good game. It was a conservative game plan for both of them. Georgia's defense played really well. I think that the issue with Notre Dame is if they are fighting with Georgia for a playoff spot,
they lose it.
You can't make the case for them to be in there ahead of Georgia. Mm-hmm. I mean, you played head-to-head and you got beat. I know it was close. It really wasn't a one-score game. Georgia was up like 23-10, like with 5 minutes to go in the game. The defense played great. That is a concern. Now, Michigan, here's the other thing about Michigan. The common perception of Jim Harbaugh is that he just sucks. Like, right? It's like the Stillmanification of John Harbaugh, right? Jim Harbaugh. Just, oh, Michigan sucks. Jim Harbaugh sucks. The casual football fan just thinks Michigan sucks. They're overrated. Mm-hmm. Well, Vegas has this game as basically a pick 'em. And so you've got a top 10 Notre Dame team on the road against Michigan, and Vegas is telling you they're pretty evenly matched. Mm-hmm. They came back and Shea Patterson threw the football into a dude's hands.
He dropped it.
In the end zone and dropped it. This, to me, is about Shea Patterson. I want to see Shea Patterson develop into a star. If he develops into a star, which he has not yet done, then Michigan wins the football game, and I like Michigan. But if Shea Patterson just kind of plays mediocre football the way we've seen him play for much of his career and not live up to the recruiting hype or, you know, even the preseason hype, then Notre Dame's going to go in there and win. Because we know Notre Dame has got dudes.
Yeah.
We know Ian Book and Claypool and Komet, the tight end, and they got good running backs, good offensive line. Brian Kelly's system is good. You know, Notre Dame should win the game. I just think Michigan's going to play well. They got their back against the wall right now. What about your boys? Penn State at Michigan State, only a 6-point spread. Penn State has sort of what they scored 17 against Iowa, 18 against Pittsburgh, and 28 last week against Michigan. Those are their three. Like, they're playing one score games. Uh-huh. They're not as good necessarily. They haven't been as dominant.
Yeah,
Michigan State's just a total Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, Michigan State, you don't know which team you're going to get. They got him in East Lansing, which is a good thing. I think Michigan State wins this game.
Ooh,
I think it
spoils. Calling for the upset.
I think it spoils Penn State's run to get in the playoffs because if they lose to Michigan State, but then they would have to come back and win the remainders of their game. And if you lose this game, I don't see anybody. Honestly, I don't see anyone beating Ohio State in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I really don't. Yeah. And I know they got a tough game this week with Wisconsin, but they're still, a 14-point favorite?
Yeah, we'll get to that one in a second. Yeah. But in a shocking turn of events, Derek Mason has picked Michigan State to win the game. I'm fascinated by the Ohio State game because Wisconsin loses to Illinois last week in the second largest upset in Big Ten history, 30.5-point favorite. They lost to Illinois. Was that a true look-ahead, letdown, trap game, whatever cliche you want to use, and they're actually going to go back to playing the way we've seen them play all year? I think Ohio State boat races them. I think Ohio State's defensive line shuts down Jonathan Taylor. I think the line is too small. I think it should be 17 or 18 points. I like Ohio State laying the points.
This is the game that I was looking at for Wisconsin.
Clearly Wisconsin was looking
exactly.
at this game.
Clearly Wisconsin was doing the same thing. But I was looking at this game as this will be the determining factor on whether Wisconsin play themselves into the playoffs or out of the playoffs. Now it's already been taken care of. I think Ohio State, the way they've been playing, I got them as the number one team in the country.
You can make a really easy case for that.
What they've been doing offensively and defensively is remarkable, considering where they were last year on defense. This team was giving up boatloads of points on defense. and they've basically done a 180. And their offense has always been, you know, an offense that can score points in bunches. I think Wisconsin loses this game by 21 points. I think they boat race Wisconsin.
You know what's weird about these teams? Like, and this is, I think it's a good thing for this season in college football. You know, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State. Let's go with those three. Because I think there's more questions in the SEC. Because you can look at LSU, Bama, Georgia, Auburn, Florida, and they're all closer together maybe than we anticipated. But in, and I know Penn State's still lingering. But when I look at Ohio State and I look at Clemson and I look at Oklahoma, the only questions I have about those teams are related to the playoff. Like, I don't have a question about Ohio State in the Big Ten race. The question I have about Ohio State is, what does Ryan Day do in preparation for a championship caliber playoff game? Because we've never seen Ryan Day in that coaching situation before. My question about Oklahoma isn't about, do they have a good enough defense to win the Big 12? It's, do they have a good enough defense to beat LSU or Oklahoma or Clemson or Ohio State in a playoff game? Because they have not proven that yet. Clemson, I don't have any questions about Clemson in the ACC. What I have a question about with Clemson is, is Trevor Lawrence pressing against bad competition in the ACC, or is he going to press in a playoff game against Alabama, right? Like, so all my questions about some of these elite-level teams are almost entirely directed towards the playoff and games that may come down the road, not kind of the current games, if that makes sense. Like Alabama, LSU, Georgia, we can make arguments about regular season stuff.
Yeah, because that conference is so tough. You know, you got LSU. They got a tough one this week against Auburn, or you could say Auburn has a tough one with LSU. Alabama's tough ones don't come up until they play LSU in 2 weeks. But then they got Auburn at the end of the season. You know, Georgia still has a tough game here. So when you talk about the SEC, it's in conference thing. Well, Oklahoma,
I mean, they've already
Clemson,
beat Texas.
Yeah, Oklahoma, Clemson. Who else would be a team?
Now, Ohio State. Ohio State's still got to play Penn State. They got to play Wisconsin this week. But, like, they play them both at home.
Yeah.
I know they got to play at Michigan, but, like,
I think they
no one's picking Michigan to win that game.
I don't think right now, I don't think the only hesitancy I have about Ohio State is, like you said, once they get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I don't think no one right now can compete with Ohio State in the Big Ten. I just don't.
No one's competed with Ohio State in the Big Ten for 50 years.
Yeah, you're right. But I'm saying, as far as, you know, they're looking at the marquee matchup, them against Michigan.
Right.
No, I think they're going to boat race Michigan. Them against what? No, they're going to boat race Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Them against whoever in the Big Ten championship. No, they're going to boat race them too.
Minnesota.
Exactly. It's going to be they're going to boat race them too. So
Minnesota's going to be 8-0, by the way, after this week.
I don't see.
Anybody care?
No, not really. Row the boat. Row the boat. Fleck. I don't see anyone competing with those teams, Clemson, Ohio State, until they get in the playoffs. Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma might, because they're going to have to play Texas again.
Probably, yeah.
In the Big 12 championship game.
Although Baylor's undefeated, and Oklahoma has to play at Baylor late in the year.
I think Oklahoma's going to boat race.
I mean, I'm with you, dude. Here's the other two teams to keep an eye on. They both have decent games this weekend but should win. Utah and Oregon are both top 10 caliber teams. They still have one loss. They're on a collision course in the Pac-12 title game. Oregon hosts Washington State this weekend. Utah's got a tough game. Keep an eye on those two as well. They're not nearly as bad as people think. Those are both really good football teams. So there's still 8 or 10 or 12 contenders for the playoff spots. So we still got a lot of work left to do in the college football world. We'll get you our pigskin picks when we come back. In fact, we may have a guest picker join the show. Yeah, somebody just stumbled into the studio. We may have a guest picker join us on Pigskin Pick'em just to rehash some previous content on the show, as well as relive some memories in the past.
Absolutely.
Derek Bass and Braden Gall, Morning Drive. We'll be right back.
Pigskin Pick'em starts now. For entertainment purposes only.
Bumbling, bumbling, stumbling. Here we go.
That goes double for you knuckleheads. Yeah, you know who you are.
Let's go now.
Welcome back to the show. This is our time to randomly make picks against the spread on Morning Drive. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Derek Mason, you went, according to my paper or my digital readout here, you actually went 5-0 last week.
Yeah, baby, Nick Saban is back. The same in at his joint.
No, no, no.
The Belichick at his
joint. Oh, yeah, you took the over on the 47 for Michigan-Penn State, and they scored.
Absolutely.
It was over under 47. They scored 48.
Yes.
Or 49.
Yes.
All right, so you are now 22-13.
Man.
You have been on a tear the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, started off slow.
Nick went 1-3 on the year. He is now 22-27. I went 2-2 last week, so I'm holding steady at 18-19, which is a vast improvement on last year.
Yeah, yeah.
So because Nick Hale is not here, we have asked former Morning Drive producer and current host of his very own talk show after we set him loose into the world.
Yeah, we
did. He blossomed and he grew. Also, we're going to discuss his dating life in a second.
World.
Oh, boy.
One Chase McCabe.
World.
Hello, gentlemen.
So you can either save or destroy Nick Cale's picks here.
Yeah.
He doesn't know we've given you the freedom to do this.
No, I told him I'm picking for him, and he said, pick high school lines.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Derek, you are 22-13 on the year. You are first up, as usual, because you're in the lead, my friend.
Man, gosh.
What you got for us?
Y'all know how I do this, okay?
Yeah, randomly.
Yeah, it's just so random.
Sometimes that works.
Sometimes it does work. But you know what? I am going to.
Sometimes that works in picks and dating.
DMs are open.
You know what? Damn both of y'all, okay? I am going to go with some real games here, fellas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with some real games.
So, here. Eastern Michigan versus Central Michigan.
No.
Oh, okay.
UConn, UMass.
Yeah, that ain't a real game. That's the worst game in the history of college football.
Over under 62 points.
62.
I am taking the under.
Good. That,
I'm taking the under on that one.
There might be fewer than 62 fans at that game.
Yeah, you might be right on that one. All right. Army, San Jose State. The
troops.
53.5 is the over under.
Okay.
I'm taking the over on that one. All right. Y'all got me, people?
I got you.
All right. UCF, Temple.
Ooh, good game.
Over under 60 points, man. I think we're going to get the Temple Owls, man. I'm scared of this one. I'm going to take the over.
Okay.
I think UCF is going to score the bulk of the points.
Why are you scared about that?
I don't know why I'm scared of that. Yeah. I just said it. It made it sound good, didn't it? I'm scared of that one, man. I'm scared of that one.
I think so.
All right. We got San Diego State, UNLV. I've seen UNLV one time. And that was here. And they put up, 37 points?
Better than Missouri can do.
Yeah, you're right about that. I am taking the over on this one.
What's the number?
45. 45 is the over-under.
Okay.
I'm taking the over on this one. All right.
All right.
Now, because you said those were not really real games, I am going to give you
UCF Temple's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a real game here.
Okay.
All right. Penn State.
Ooh.
Michigan State.
The number is really low.
It's 44 points.
Yeah.
The music is perfect.
Yeah, they're playing in East Lansing. Never know what the weather is. I should have checked the weather.
That point spread continues to come down. Opened at 6.5. Now it's down to 5.5. Vegas
thinking,
knows something.
Because even 22, man, I am going the under on this one.
Okay.
I'm going the under 44
Penn State
points.
Has not been that explosive and dominant.
I say
on offense.
17-20.
Normally, you put the higher number first.
Well, 2017, yeah.
Go.
I think that'd be the score, 2017.
You got any more, or is that the five you want?
That's the five I want.
All right. I'm in second place, so I'll give you a couple here. I will take Navy -3.5 against Willie Fritz and Tulane. I think Navy's one of the most undervalued commodities in the gambling world right now.
Hmm.
Is that right, Chase? Is that how I should say it?
Sure.
They are undervalued by the market currently. LSU. That's
so am I.
Exactly. which market? LSU. This is a real football game here. LSU -10.5 at home against Auburn. I don't see. Auburn has not beaten LSU in Baton Rouge since 1999, folks.
Wow. Goodness.
So, yeah, there's a nugget for you. LSU -10.5. Texas. This line, this is where Vegas. Chase, I'm almost asking you this question at this point. Texas at TCU. This line opened up at TCU -1. TCU was favored. Now it is Texas -1, which means all the money's coming in on Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I like Texas -1 in this game. I think they're the better team. TCU has been very uninspiring so far. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes. Yeah, you are.
Okay.
And I like Texas too.
All right. And I'm
TCU, beautiful campus, by the way.
It is very lots of money.
My aunt lives right like next to the football stadium. Like she actually charges $50 a spot for cars to park in her yard. And so I went and saw Jared Goff play his last college football game, a bowl game over at TCU Stadium.
Amon Carter Stadium?
Yep.
Something like that. And I will take Notre Dame minus one just to try to get myself a win for Michigan.
Mm.
Notre Dame minus one at Michigan. I think Michigan's going to play really well, which means, of course, Notre Dame's going to win. So I'm going to hedge my bets with a pick.
Notre Dame
minus one. So there you go. All favorites, which, of course, is going to be wrong. Nick Kale.
Hey, guys. Philly Nick here. I hate everything.
All right. Luckily, I did some research on, you know, games because it's what I always do.
I knew you had.
And, you know, for silly underdog picks. I'm going to take the Colorado Buffaloes to cover the 12 against USC. That game actually tonight.
That's plus 12, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Plus the 12. I think Northwestern stinks, so give me Iowa.
They're terrible. You get to give me the number, Chase.
10, plus 10, or minus 10.
Minus 10.
Minus 10.
Not Iowa minus 10.
Yes, Iowa minus 10.
You're doing this in a very confusing way.
I'm sorry. Is there something that I can do differently? Or
Yeah.
Okay. Give me Ohio State minus 14.5.
I like that pick as well.
Yeah, I heard your analysis on that. I thought that was very good.
They're about 21, I think. I think they're going to bowl.
Yeah, I think they get killed too.
I would also...
Sorry, Dad.
I would also like to take Western Kentucky plus 5 at Marshall.
Quietly doing some decent work.
Yes, they are.
That new coaching staff.
5-2 on the year.
Yeah, Tyson Helton, baby.
And they're a 5-point dog on the road. I like that one. Give me my Blue Raiders plus 2.5 at home against FIU.
Okay.
The Blue Raiders, not the Oakland.
Yeah, you're really trying to either help or destroy Nick's record here.
I am. I would also like Texas minus 1.
Oh, okay. I feel better now.
LSU minus the 10.5.
Good Lord. Okay. This is too many already.
And Syracuse plus 10. That's it.
Syracuse plus 10.
Against Florida State.
Florida State sucks, and Willie Taggart's getting fired.
Yeah, Syracuse is 0-3 in the ACC. You know, Syracuse is 0-3 in the ACC.
Can I ask you a legitimate college football question?
Sure, of course.
Okay, because I've been thinking about this. Everybody connects Urban Meyer to USC, but would Florida State not be attractive to him?
No, I don't think
he
would
knows
do
the,
that.
He knows the state.
I mean, that makes sense, but he knows every state, really. Florida State is a weird school for football. They're not as committed to the football program as you would think a major power program should be, which is why Jimbo left. Financially, there's some weird disconnects in the administration and the academic side. And Tallahassee, let's just face it, is a strange place. He's used to places that are fully committed. Ohio State, Florida.
Right.
USC will be fully committed and will give him complete autonomy. I don't know if that means he's going to be the head coach there. I joked about that when he was resigned or whatever. But
you're not
that,
the only one that's brought
right,
up.
Exactly. So it's not like some revolutionary take or whatever. But Florida, I don't think Taggart's getting fired because his buyout's too big. That's the problem. But same thing with Pruitt. Like, if Pruitt loses every game the rest of the year, he's still not getting fired because the buyout's too big. I like good. That's a good question, Chaser. Thank you.
Hey, that's what I try to bring to the show when I join.
Thank
good
you.
Question. I have missed you guys, by the way.
We'll get your commentary on the poll question and the big finish when we come back. Okay. Morning Drive.
We've had a big show. And now it's time for a big finish on Morning Drive.
Well. We've come to the end of the show, people. And
hey, that's good.
Yeah, and we're gonna do this thing how we do it every day. The Big Finish, and the Big Finish is brought to you by Nashville Soccer Club. Get your MLS tickets for the inaugural season today. Go to NashvilleSC.com.
Reminder, ESPN 94.9 Game 2 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in Saturday night as Nashville SC takes on Charleston Battery at First Tennessee Park in the first round of the USL playoffs. Pre-game starts at 6:30. Kickoff at 7, only on ESPN 94.9 Game 2, powered by your Middle Tennessee Toyota dealers. Another beer gain for the Nashville Predators. Welcome to the show, Friday edition, Morning Drive. My name is Brayden Gall, and his name is Derek Mason. Munson, one name, Munson, is in the back producing. Listen, I know you probably hate that that's the one name you're going to get, even though it is your last name, so you should be proud of that.
Like, no, I don't really care.
Like, I hate my last name. I hate Gall. Like, as a last name, I hate it. But you are going to probably end up being a one-name producer, which makes you one of the great producers of all time. Even if Munson is not exactly the sexiest one name.
Yeah, it's
not like Cher or, you know, Pac.
You can make it sexy.
Munson.
Pekka saved their bacon in the first period, though. And if that's not Minnesota, that's the difference, right? Like, if that's one of the better teams in the NHL, maybe you're down 2-0 again going into the second period. So Peter Laviolette and his coaching staff knows they've got to be better on the defensive end of the ice. They're giving up too many high-danger chances. That was, again, the case last night. And Pekka saved them in the first period. Now, we can always believe in this team to come back and score. Uh-huh. That's the beauty of this team. But they have, I guarantee you, in a 4-0 win, Peter will still have something to show his team on tape and say, look, we've got to be better than this in the first period. Because if that's a really good team we're playing, it's probably not 0-0 going into the second period.
This was a defensive team. And for so long with Trotsky, they defense first, and then the scoring took a back seat. And higher in Lobby, it was, okay, we got to sort of get out of that mindset. We got to start scoring points. We have the defense. Now we got to find points. We got to find people that can score points. We got to put an offense in that's more so 21st century type of offense. Well, they've done that, and they've consistently done that over the last course of the last 4 or 5 years Lobby's been here. But now it seems like the more and more they're picking up scoring, the further and further away they're getting away from their defense.
Am I not allowed to enjoy watching individual players more than other players? Just because, not for any personal reason, but just like I just enjoy watching
you
that guy.
You can, but you can't make it known.
Yeah, I can't say that I love watching Jose Altuve play baseball.
Yeah, you can't say yes. My favorite player. You know, when you have Arvy on, he gonna say, "Go talk to him." I'm not your favorite player.
His name is Arvidsson.
Well, yeah, I can't call him Arvidsson. Yeah, Arvidsson.
Just broke the rule,
yeah,
man.
Arvidsson, you're right.
I can't sit here and say, man, I really enjoy Colton Sisson's game professionally, objectively. I enjoy his game. I like the way he plays.
You can say that, but you can't say he's your favorite player.
He's one of my favorite players to watch.
No,
I can't say that?
No,
I need to put a dollar in the jar.
Yeah, I enjoy watching them all.
I enjoy watching them all.
Yeah.
So now
I'm trying to help you out.
Now Colton Sisson is going to be on every week of Smashville Live, only because no other player is going to want to talk to you.
Exactly.
I love you, Joey. Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville joining us here.
Since he's at home, it's an underdog in South Carolina, but I think the Vols feel better about the way the line of scrimmage game has gone. And then to this game, I think it's a must. If Tennessee loses, it's not mathematically eliminated. It could go undefeated in November. Maybe that happens. But Tennessee has not won 4 straight football games since its 11-game winning streak was snapped in 2011 by Texas A&M. And trying to win 4 games against teams that are at least quality opponents who are going to be plenty confident that they can beat Tennessee, the Missouri game on the road, I still think it's going to be really difficult. It's just a big ask for a team that would be 2-6 and would not have experienced much success recently to then go win 4 straight.
Could the Alabama Crimson Tide beat Arkansas with Willie Donick at quarterback?
Probably.
I think it's a completely meaningless conversation. You guys know he's a two-sport athlete in the SEC, 48 years old. He's a lefty, you know, Tua, lefty.
But you
the
gotta,
offense doesn't change
you know,
a whole lot when you insert Willie.
I love Weird Willie. But you got to understand the era that Weird Willie grew up in.
Oh, Weird Willie. Yeah.
He's not going to be a two-scholarship athlete in this era.
He's still in decent shape.
I'm saying if he was little Weird Willie now like he was then,
sure,
he'd just get a scholarship in one of the sports, baseball or basketball, whichever one.
All I know is I can hand the ball up to Najee Harris and Brian Robinson 65 times. Teron Davenport joining us here from ESPN.
I think I don't think he's going to see the field this week, honestly. He hasn't practiced. We haven't seen him in the locker room since Sunday, right? And then in the locker room at the facility, we haven't seen him since Friday. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with him. We only played 5 snaps at Jonnu in line, and they'll do different things with that, and they'll mix Furster in. Right now, I don't know that they need to play Delaney. And then on top of that, you know, you talk the trade thing, and we did talk about that. Now, when you talk about trading a guy like that, though, there's a lot of emotions involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fans, coaches, fellow players, I mean, they look at Delaney as, you know, he's a pillar of this franchise.
Derek likes this song entirely too much. Welcome back to the show. I have no idea how that is. Do you?
Cisco. I don't know.
Cisco.
Damn, dude. That's way too hot to be Cisco. Waiting on
Who
Terry.
Who dressed like scandalous?
Who is likely to get married sooner, Chase McCabe or Jared Stillman? I asked you that question, and you just, like, sat there in dead silence.
Yes, I paused.
During the commercial
break. It actually made me pause. That, you know, I don't know. Stillman.
I think Chase gets married.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, Marquise?
Yeah, I think Chase. Jared's just...
Jared would talk himself out of the marriage.
I think that would happen. Yeah. At this stage, he will grow into, as he matures and gets older, gets into his 30s. I was not mature enough to get married until I was, like, 33. In fact, I think most men are not ready for marriage until they're at least 30. At least 30.
So I think he'll talk himself out of marriage.
I think in the short term, yes. Mm-hmm. Which means that gives, I think, 3 to 5 years for Chase to get married to win the bet.
Yeah. I would marry you, but you gotta pay what you owe.
Yeah.
You gotta pay what... All right, so an Illinois man was arrested yesterday for allegedly giving cops his fake name, but the only problem is this guy had his name tattooed on his neck.
What if I get a face tattoo of my face?
What? Face off.
So it looks like we're gonna take the face off. Gotta set the bird loose, let him fly, man.
I'm a pelican, let me fly.
Oh, that's the big finish there. Brought to you by Nashville Soccer Club. Nashville SC. Huge game coming up tomorrow night. Cannot wait, First Tennessee Park, for that one. Of course, got Preds tomorrow night, 6 o'clock puck drop, pregame at 5 at Tampa. What's the record on Saturday games? Like 1-10 or something like that? 1-11 in their last 12? Something weird. Really bizarre Saturday record. So we'll get to that. Poll question update. Derek Mason, who will get married first, Jared Stillman or Chase McCabe? 83%. So far, it's a runaway, but please continue to vote on my Twitter account there, at Braden Gall. Chase McCabe with a commanding lead over Jared Stillman.
So I heard your commentary on this, and I love that my dating life is still content on this show long after I'm gone.
Of course it is.
Absolutely.
It will be until you get married.
Exactly.
Yeah, which who knows when that is. Absolutely. You said, while we were talking about this, that I have some flaws, and look, nobody's perfect, which is true. I'm very picky. So that
you're very picky.
Because I only want to do this once.
Okay.
I'm only doing it once.
Yeah. My friend Amber also says the thought of marrying Jared is scarier than any haunted house.
Wow, Amber. On that note, we will send you off into the weekend. Have a great, wonderful weekend. You got the Titans, you got the Vols, you got the Preds, you got Nashville SC. For Munson, for Derek Mason, my name's Braden Gall. Thanks for listening, everybody. Nick will be back on Monday.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, have a safe weekend, and I love ya.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.